Representative Lilly constitutes a quorum now, so we will call the meeting to order.
We're not doing a bounty bill, are we? Sorry.
Yeah, you're safe for showing up.
We have had members who have checked in and have stepped out, and will be back in and out. So we do have a quorum, and so would someone move the minutes from yesterday?
I move the minutes, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Banyan moves the minutes from yesterday. Any additions or corrections? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. The minutes are approved. We laid over House File 545. We didn't have time to finish that yesterday. Representative Downey, do you want to take the desk? And you have an amendment that you are offering for this bill.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, and I'm not sure of the protocol here. I believe I moved the A4 amendment in the last committee hearing, but to the extent required, I'd move the A4.
Okay. Representative Downey moves the A4 amendment to House File 545.
Correct.
You want to explain the amendment? Then there is a technical correction on line 1-2. It should read page 1, line 3, right?
Yes. And Shepherd? Mr. Chair, line 3 should read page 1, line 8.
Okay. Four numbers. Ms. O'Neill, you have that? Representative Downey?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I know we had some discussion already on this yesterday, but in an effort to accommodate terminology that would be helpful, and instead of overly politically provocative, I'm just changing the word insolvency in the bill title and the subdivision heading. And as I mentioned, I felt it was important actually to leave lines 1.10 and 1.11 as is. We had some discussion 2 days ago on changing that perhaps as well. But really, by definition, contingency planning and risk management activities like I'm proposing here are not intended for everyday incremental issues. They're for large-scale, disruptive, you know, kind of disaster scenarios. And so I'd prefer to leave the language the same in 1.10 and 1.11. I just don't want us doing contingency planning on all kinds of scenarios that are just incremental changes as compared to big events.
Representative Banyan.
Mr. Chairman, I may have moved our minutes prematurely because as I look at them now, as I look at them here, I see we have on the second page, it says that we've actually moved the A4 already.
And approved it?
And it says the motion prevailed, so I'm going to ask the chair, ask Ms. O'Neill, did we not move the amendment on already? I think the question was whether or not we were going to make the changes on 110 and 111, but I think the changes in at lines 3 and 8, are already incorporated and are already amended on. Am I?
No, we didn't do that.
Okay, well, then we may need to go back and undo the minutes. Okay. One of two things has to happen here. Okay, we either need to fix our minutes, or we need to move to the next part.
Thank you for that point, Mr. Shepherd. Do you have a take on that,
Mr. Chair and members? My notes indicate that the committee did adopt the amendment yesterday. But if you wanted to vote it again, you could do that, and then we'll just make sure the records are straight. We could go back and check the yesterday's recording, but I had written down that the A4 amendment was adopted yesterday. I'm not positive that's right.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Downey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That was actually my recollection as well, and my recollection was that Representative Kahn, after our adoption of it, had then brought up some of her additional points, which prompted us to continue. So the minutes are actually reflective of my recollection as well, but either way, it doesn't matter.
Okay, well, if that is in fact the case, then well, it wouldn't hurt to move it again, I guess. so that if there is any question. Discussion on the amendment. If not, all in favor of the A4 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. The amendment is adopted. And Representative Downey, do you want to move the motion to send this to the floor, right?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So I renew my motion for House File 545 to be passed and referred to the General Register.
As amended.
As amended. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion to the 545 as amended. Motion to move to the floor. Representative Kahn, it's the amendment that we saw yesterday.
Okay. I just want to make a point on this.
Yeah, Representative Kahn.
You know, as I said yesterday, I was just asking for one line to be removed from this bill, which is to take out what I think is the flashpoint of the issue of saying that we have to deal with federal insolvency instead of requiring us to look at all federal contingency programs, which is a much broader and obviously includes the issue of federal insolvency. You know, I was a minority member on this committee, and I chaired this committee for various times, worked with people like Marty Seifert and Phil Krenke, who I do not have a lot of political affinity with, and, you know, we managed to work together. One of the things we did is that we never, whichever position we were in, rolled over the minority. If someone was asking for something that had a reasonable aspect into it, we just did it, just to have a bipartisan approach to a bill instead of a rollover approach to the bill. So, you know, I really think, I'm not going to make the motion, but I really think you could take out the flashpoint of talking about federal government insolvency and just really talk about the problems we have with the federal government not meeting its, role that it should have in state government.
Representative Kahn, I understand that it doesn't go as far as you would like, but we did change and remove a couple of the points at which there was this kind of concern.
Well, you know, Mr. Chairman, if you don't do it from the body of the bill, it means nothing. So, there are much, much more dramatic things have happened in this committee than this issue. But this is something that just seems so simple that it's, you know, I'm just looking over the times that I either chaired this committee or was a minority member of this committee when we continually did things like that. And, so the new belligerence just seems a little counterproductive to ending the session in a helpful way.
Representative Leidinger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I apologize. I just want to kind of make sure that I am up to speed. But that A4 amendment that we passed, we took out most of the inflammatory language, right? I mean, can I go over it, or can somebody go over it?
Representative Leidinger, it was taken out at 2 points. It was taken out on
1.3.
Line 3, and it was taken out on line 8.
And Mr. Chairman.
So I'm trying to understand then where else. Everything looks pretty solid in the body as well. I mean, I see we have it in 110, but that's pretty much that's something that you're. That is the issue. Is make sure that we are budgeting for those possible occurrences, And I mean, I think we took it out of the most important areas, which is especially in the title, 1.8. So I just want to say that I like the bill the way it is. It reminds me of. I want to tell this story because when I did this for that year at the War College, I could tell you how things can happen so quickly. It was in 1989, and we were at the Naval War College, and what we were continually massaging and planning was the war in Central Europe. Well, when the Berlin Wall went down, we took all our courseware and threw it away. In 3 days' time, we were starting to plan other contingencies. And so, I mean, and that, by the way, East Germany was totally insolvent at that time. So, I mean, it was a country in which it basically went down to its knees. I mean, that's what we're talking about here, is that kind of a situation. And with the kinds of things that are happening at the federal government, and you're looking at other governments which are trying to go away from the dollar is the standard. We've got to worry about the large picture, and that's what we want the state to focus on. So that's my input. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Winkler is next.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Downey, I confess that when I saw this bill initially, I just assumed that it was intended to make a political statement, and you know, I certainly still have a lot to learn from Representative Kahn because after all these years, she still trusted your sincerity in bringing this bill and the need for it on a practical planning basis. But her comments and her question to you really reveal that maybe my first instinct was correct, because the whole bill, it's not just removing one word from the title, the whole bill is structured around the concept of the federal government going into insolvency. So it's line 1.10 says insolvency. Line 1.13 says the federal government's potential inability to meet its financial commitments. And in 1.18 and 1.19, it's specific leading indicators of the federal government's inability to meet its obligations that trigger certain actions. So, you know, if we're talking about leading indicators, the only leading indicators you've talked about are, and Representative Vanya talked about them as well, are the kinds of things that happened in Greece, and I think you mentioned the Ukraine and Indonesia. So this really is not about the federal government having budget pressures and reducing its payment for special education or backing away from its promise on Medicaid or something like that. What you're talking about is kind of a meltdown scenario. That's what this whole bill is about. Unless you're going to say otherwise and be open to changing it, according to what Representative Kahn said, this bill is about federal meltdown. And I guess I just reject the idea that there aren't enough people of good faith in both parties in Washington who would rather have the federal government trip the debt ceiling, send us into insolvency, and essentially ruin the economy of the country and do something that nobody else has ever done before in this country just because there's a disagreement over the budget. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think people are still, despite all the screaming, people are more responsible than that. And I just don't know what business it is of the Minnesota House of Representatives to wade into that and give our opinion about the likelihood that the federal government is going to be insolvent. This is a political statement. It isn't careful planning.
Representative Kahn.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Leidegut, maybe when you've been here a little bit longer, you'll learn that the title means absolutely nothing, and you'll also learn that the subtitle of a part of the law means almost absolutely nothing, and the only thing that matters are the words that are in the law. And the language that I want to read, that I want to remove, is the words on line 110, which would change the sentence, so it would read, if there is dramatically reduced federal payments. That's something that we need to plan for. We need to plan for sometimes dramatically inadequate federal payments. For example, the federal payments that we've had on special education, which have not, which have been a problem. We looked, it looks like it's backed off. It looked as if we were going to have to plan for dramatically federally reduced payments for Medicare, which apparently, reading the headlines in the paper today, we no longer have to worry about that coming, at least from the federal house. But, you know, again, that happens. As long as we're not willing to let people die in the streets, we have a serious problem with federally reduced payments on health care or actions where the state refuses to take federal payments on health care. So what I was just trying to do is make this bill, and, you know, I, Representative Winkler has found more to disagree with than I have. But, you know, I was just trying to make this a little less, bit less of a political statement. And that seems to have been refused by the author. And I'm just pointing out that in the past, from my memory, these kinds of things would have been accepted. You know, whether it makes the bill a little bit less perfect in the eyes of the author, it still has some advantage of saying that it's not, at least it's not that much of a political statement that at least some Democrats can say that this is the direction we should go in.
Representative Leidiger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I just got to say, I don't see this as political at all. First of all, I'm not very political, period. I mean, I come from the military. I do the best job I can. But, I mean, insolvency does happen.
Well,
I mean, we've seen that. It is, this is reality. I mean, on Central Command staff, when we took down Iraq, they became insolvent. We did away with their currency. Off they went. Now, I realize, you know, I talk about it in the military terms, but here's the thing. We have a federalist system, and we concern ourselves with the state of Minnesota, and the state of Minnesota can stay strong regardless of what the federal government ends up doing. And I think that the way this reads seems, I mean, that's what we want to plan against, especially we've never seen debt like we have accumulated before in the federal arena. But we are charged with ensuring that the state stays strong. And that's why I like this. It seems it does not seem political to me whatsoever.
Well, Mr. Chairman, how is that not covered by the language which I would leave in the bill, which says dramatically reduce federal payments, and the line and the language on 112 and 113? How is not the state's problems not covered by those words?
Mr. Chairman, I...
Representative Downey.
Well, if I could, because I'd like to maybe describe my intent and kind of the backdrop of my thinking for all of this. Changing the title and the heading, whatever appears on the calendar of the day and as the bills are moving and all the paper that gets pushed around here and what's up on the computer screen if a citizen dials in and looks at this bill is in the title. And so I granted that taking insolvency would take the edge off of that in the title and also in the subdivision 1D heading so that as people just kind of looked at it, they realized it was a more pragmatic bill than political. But I do think there is a material difference and an importance to the terms, and if you can come up with a different one, I'm okay with that. But again, you don't do contingency planning as part of an overall organizational risk management strategy for incremental or decremental events. You do it for sudden catastrophic events. And insolvency implies a typically very quick, often by surprise type of event where you go from everything to nothing. And then I've got an or to say dramatically reduce federal payments to require us to think not just about the 100% to zero scenario, but something slightly incremental but still substantial, so that it would be dramatic enough to interrupt what we're doing. And so the words are chosen fairly intentionally. When you do contingency planning, if your biggest customer is Walmart, you know what? Walmart may never go out of business, but you still plan for the 100% to zero scenarios. You just do. That is by definition disaster planning, risk management, contingency planning activity. And all of the steps that I've outlined down here, 1 through 5, I mean, those are straight out of private sector work plans for how you do risk management contingency planning. So to imply that everything about this bill is political, I reject that. And, you know, so I don't know, is bankruptcy or illiquidity or default a better word than insolvency? I don't know. But there's got to be something that conveys the suddenness, the instantaneousness, the catastrophic nature of it, I think, in order to capture my intent. And I do believe that that is a material difference, not just semantic. And to Representative Leidiger's point, I mean, we could argue that this is largely political and the federal government's never going to have this happen to them. But I think we need to realize the unique set of circumstances that we're in. I don't know that this country has ever faced the demographic changes that we have coming right now, where we're literally going upside down in terms of payees and payors. Interest rates are at historic lows right now. At the very same time, we have probably historic levels of debt. The unfunded liabilities that oftentimes don't even show up in those debt calculations are multiples of that debt. Most of our debt is dependent upon a country, China, that one would argue is fairly unstable. And we are fast approaching a scenario and blowing way past it. I got a chart I saw where our federal debt is close to 100% of GDP and projected to be 300% of it if we don't change our spending. And just today I saw a headline in the paper about how even the Republicans in Washington are starting to back off some of their changes on the social programs we have. So I don't think this is extreme in the least. You may interpret it as being overly political. Everything down here is political. But the assertions that this is somehow now entirely political and that we're not operating as people of goodwill to the minority, you know what? I think it's a material difference, and I'd stick with the language as is unless somebody wants to offer a concrete alternative that somehow captures the meaning and makes it better.
Representative Winkler?
Mr. Chairman, I'd request a roll call, and the only rhetorical question I would ask is why would you just choose federal government insolvency as the sole thing that we should plan for? Do we have a contingency plan for all 21 Fortune 500 companies leaving Minnesota tomorrow en masse because of the Dayton tax bill passing? That would be another statement that we could make.
Roll call hasn't been requested.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Kahn.
Just the question. Do you have a quorum?
Yes, we do. We've had people that have checked in.
Marianne has checked.
Checking in doesn't matter. You're taking a vote. It's a roll call vote. It's going to be a number. I believe, unless the people are sitting in their seats, you do not have a quorum if someone makes the call for a quorum. And, of course, I do feel compelled to make the call for a quorum at this point.
Okay, well, then we'll have to go round up people. And if you're going to have a quorum call, which would be the first time in my experience here that I've seen that happen. But.
Well, Mr. Chairman, again, it helps if you've been around a little longer to know that. I lost the Clean Indoor Air Act the first year I brought it in 1974 because of the simple matter of people leaving. People who didn't want to vote against it just left, so there was no quorum. And the next time it was, next year when it passed, it was introduced as HES file number 60 or something like that to make sure that that would not happen again. So I did learn something.
Well, Representative Kahn, we're trying to help one of your colleagues out who was not happy with our moving House File 1633 to the Tax Committee. And the Tax Committee said they don't need it, they don't want it. And so if we're going to have you know, we may have to, and maybe you'll like that because you wanted it to go to tax committee, but there is going to be that repercussion as well. We'll wait. We'll take a temporary recess. We'll call the meeting back to order since we now have a quorum. Roll call having been requested on House File 545 as amended. Ms. O'Neill, call roll.
Anderson. Fannion.
Here. No, it's not.
I'm sorry, I'm still looking at Simon's video. I'm sorry, what are we doing?
We're voting for Bill.
No.
Yes.
Benson.
I'm so sorry.
Downey.
Yes.
Gauthier. Green.
No.
Gunther. Hayden. Kahn.
No.
Lanning.
Yes.
Leidiger.
Yes.
Lilly.
He said no.
Lomer. McElpatrick.
Yes.
Murphy. Murray.
Yes.
Simon.
No.
Slawick. Stensrud.
Yes.
Erdahl.
Yes.
Winkler.
No.
Yes. There being 8 in favor and 5 opposed, the bill is passed and moved to the General Register.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The next item on the agenda is the matter of House File 1633. And members, Representative Norton, we got cut short at the end of the meeting, and she appealed to us. She was objecting to the bill being sent to taxes, didn't feel that she had an adequate opportunity to express that opposition. And I talked with the chair of the tax committee, and well, actually, he contacted me first after they got our referral, and he said, we don't want this bill. There's no reason for it to go to tax committee. And so we did not forward to the desk, to the clerk, this bill, given what Chair Davids had indicated. And so the appropriate motion at this point would be to reconsider our action yesterday.
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Representative Kahn to reconsider our vote. Discussion? Representative Downey?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to clarify, so are we simply changing the re-referral, or are we, we've got the bill as amended, I think, back before us, and so now we're re-voting on the entire measure?
We will, to reconsider, it gets it back on our table, and then we would have to have a new motion as to what to do with the bill since it's back on the on our table.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes. We passed it as amended, the DE1, right? And so we're the motion is to reconsider the bill as amended, and then we would need a vote on a new motion. All in favor of the reconsideration signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. The bill is now back before us. And the request is that this, from the chair, from the author, is that this bill be sent to the General Register.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Kahn.
Let me explain something about my thought processes yesterday. We had two bills together. We had the CRESL bill, if it passes, which will dramatically increase the amount of money going to all of these lawful gambling places. And the one of my problems studying this year over all of the years is how little money goes from these things to taxes and to charity. And one of the points of the CRESL bill is that you're also lowering the amount of taxes that are being increased. But the argument we heard was that we're going to be dramatically higher returns on anything that we're doing, such as electronic bingo and something else. So it seems to me to, at the same time, when we're expecting dramatically higher returns, and the argument that we're being made to reduce the amount that has to be used for charitable purposes, at the same time were counterproductive. So I just thought that the bills should be considered together. Most logical place to me to consider them together, you know, maybe they should even be one bill, would be in taxes.
Yeah.
You know, I understand the author's concern if we don't see this in this increased revenue. And, you know, as long as we understand that we're just helping one bingo hall in Rochester or a few other bingo halls in various places, and we're not doing anything for the people who supposedly these are helping, it's just, we can just go ahead and vote it out. But I really thought that these bills needed to be considered together. But I understand the author's concern about wanting to be move forward, so I'm certainly not going to stand in the way.
Representative Kahn, you make a valid point. And how I would propose that that be accommodated is I would be more than happy to convey to the Rules Committee that my feeling is that the Norton bill should be considered after the CRESL bill, so that, because even according to Representative Norton's testifiers, if the CRESL bill were to be passed into law, her bill would not be necessary. That's the understanding I came away from with that discussion. And Representative Banyan is on the Rules Committee. I don't remember if anybody else here is on Rules. I would be happy to convey that recommendation to the Rules Committee that be taken into account, because I think you have a valid point. Chair Davids also has a valid point that there's really nothing in that bill that would relate to tax policy. Representative Lilly.
Mr. Chair, I don't generally have a comment. It's just I think we could talk to the majority leader serving on Rules and express your feelings on it. I don't know what that's going to do for you, though. But
I don't want him to make references about my neck.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Banyan.
I'll just say that if I can take that message to the Rules Committee as a member on it, you're there too. So, you know, when it, we could say together that this is sort of what we were thinking, and I think this is absolutely right to do, that the CREASL bill should probably get calendared first, and I would say that if it came up in the committee.
Members, we need a motion as to what to do with this bill.
I'll come back and move, Mr. Chairman, move this bill to be passed and move to the General Register.
Okay, Representative Bannion moves that House File 1633 be recommended to pass and be referred to the General Register. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. Members, at this point, we're unsure as to what we might have to convene for next week. We will keep you posted. There's one or two bills that might have to come out of government operations to come here. At this point, we just don't know what that might be. So please keep us on your calendar, and as soon as we have some definite word on that, we will let you know. With that, members, meeting adjourned.